Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online. God the Father made the leather garments for Adam and Eve as they left the Garden of Eden. This leather garments was a loving consideration on the part of God the Father and the string of grace and the salvation for Adam. God the Father gave this token of love to Adam and Eve, who were about to depart and receive a human cultivation. This is what I explained to you in the last lecture. Since then, he has shown his token of love to the descendants of Adam. Even when Israel committed a sin and forsook God, God didn't forsake Israel. As if God had requested love for Israel, he kept on sending his message of the love through prophets. Let me tell you some of them. Isaiah chapter 49:15-16 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even this may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Jeremiah chapter 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, 'I've loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with love, loving kindness.'" Jeremiah chapter 31:20 says, "Is Ephraim, which refers to the northern Israel, my dear son? Is he delightful child indeed? As often as I have spoken against him, I suddenly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have a mercy on him, declares the Lord." Hosea chapter 11:1 says, "When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And chapter 11:4 says, "I led him with the cords of a man, with the bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and I bent down and fed them." God didn't love only the Israelites. He had mercy also on other countries. He showed his love even to Assyrians, who were enemies of the Israelites. That's in Jonah chapter 4:11. God said, "Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and the left hand, as well as many animals?" Our Lord Jesus also said how much God the Father loved the Israelites. He said in Matthew chapter 23:37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her? How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling." Have you received the token of love from God the Father? God the Father gave mankind so much a big and definite token of love. Romans chapter 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God loves so much that He gave His Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice for our sins to break down the wall of the sin between us and God. God sacrificed His own Son by crucifixion. His Son Jesus was crowned with thorns nailed to His hand and feet, and pierced with a spear through His side, spilling water and blood. This is a proof of God's love for us. He loves us to this extent. Jesus, who came to this earth as a Savior 2,000 years ago, is a token of God's love for us. The Holy Spirit continually confirms that the great love of God for us. That's Romans chapter 5:5 says, "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." It means God poured out His love within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that God gave to us. In fact, God the Father gave such an undeserved love to mankind. All of you are blessed to receive the token of love from God the Father and the Lord. That love should not cool down. It should rather become hotter and hotter until the day the Lord comes back again. May you be filled of the love which you cannot get anywhere in the world and which you cannot exchange for anything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, let's proceed to Genesis chapter 3:22. It says, "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." It begins with the Lord God said, but then there is an expression that is that man has become like one of us. From this, you can see that there wasn't only God the Father by Himself. There are many verses like this in the Bible. He discussed Adam with God the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's why they are written "we" or "with us." God the Father knew well what kind of a punishment Adam should have received in the justice as a price to be paid for his sin. However, God did not drive Adam out to the earth right now. The Trinity once again deliberated together. Likewise, God the Trinity has a humanity to understand the hurt of the human beings. Of course, they also have an absolute divinity. Moreover, God the Trinity always works together. No one entity of the true in God proceeds alone. God the Trinity was divided from the original God, but not only won the outward appearances, but also the power. Divinity and the humanity were equally divided. However, depending on their own role, the ratio between the divinity and the humanity displayed may vary among the three. God the Son has more of the divinity than humanity when compared with the Holy Spirit. It also implies that the Holy Spirit has more of a humanity than that of the God the Son. By the way, the God the Son and the Holy Spirit are sons of God the Father, and their positions are different from that of the God the Father. God the Father, however, considered it to treat both of them as an equal entity of God. Let me tell you an example. Say you are the boss in a company and you have two sons. These two sons grew up and gained the experience. They are now ready to run the company together with their father. Then these two sons become the executive, the officers who would run the company. Now an important incident takes place in company. you as a boss could call for the board of the directors meeting and ask their opinion. Since you are the boss of the company, you will treat your two sons equally as executives on the board of the directors. If you truly want to treat others as equals, you should listen to them even they have a different opinion from you. You will not force them to unconditionally agree with you in this manner, saying, "They are my sons, and so they just should follow my will." You must respect them and accept the fact that their ideas can be right. Our God the Father also treated God the Son and the Holy Spirit as an equal entity with the original God. He doesn't discriminate against or differentiate between them. I'm not saying God the Trinity had a different opinion over the matter from time to time. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit always share the same opinion over every matter. In goodness, love, and justice, God the Trinity is one in heart and in all will. That's why Jesus offered the following prayer to God the Father before he was arrested. In John chapter 17, 11, Jesus prayed, "I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, a name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are." Here they refer to Jesus' disciples, but in broader sense, it refers to all who believe in Jesus Christ and become the children of God. Just as God the Trinity are perfectly one, Jesus desperately prayed that the children of God may also become one with God. Since God is a spirit, if you accomplish the heart of the Spirit, you can also become the one with God. Depending on how much the mind of the Spirit is formed, that since God is a spirit, it's to that extent that one resembles Him. Since God is holy, you, His children, must also become holy. Since God is perfect, we must also be perfect. Since God is holy, we must also be holy. Since God is sanctified, we must also become holy. This is the image of a children who resemble God. As you enter with your spirit, you become more like Him. As you enter with the whole spirit, you become more like Him. When you enter with your whole spirit and fill one person, two person, and so on, until you reach 100%, you can truly say that you have become like God. Even if you reach 100%, however, it's not the end. There's another level to resemble God the Father. In Matthew chapter 5, 48, Jesus also said, "Be perfect, therefore, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect." This is what God has commanded us. Be perfect, therefore, just as your Father is perfect. The more you have achieved the holiness and the perfections, you can become one with God. If you make a peace with others who stray from the truth, you are not one in the truth. Peace must be achieved in truth. Just as a rope is getting thicker and the stronger, you are getting spiritually stronger as one. No one can cut you off, and no one has the strength to force you off track. With our united spiritual power, we will fight against the Antichrist until the end of the world and realize the vision given by Father God. I pray in the name of the Lord that more you will come in spirit, whole spirit, and add it as a spiritual strength. Dear brothers and sisters, so far I told you that God the Trinity gave a heavy thought to matter regarding Adam. God the Father said to this point, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." The man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. In this sentence, the man refers to Adam, and it also includes Eve. Since Adam represents Eve as well, what God said to Adam identically applied to Eve. Adam was created as the first man, and Eve was created with the power of Adam's body. It was Adam that received the power and authority from God the Father. Then what does it mean that Adam has become like one of God the Trinity, knowing good and evil? It means that even though Adam used to know only goodness before, he knew not only goodness but also evil now. Adam was good itself and did not know evil. But after eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he came to know evil. God the Trinity is goodness itself, but yet can understand even the depth of the evil. And the world of the evil spirits cannot evade the control of God. Therefore, just as God knows of goodness and the evil, Adam had now come to know both sides as well. However, the level of understanding of good and evil was very different. To help you understand better, let me explain the situation of Adam. Adam was created from the dust of this earth and became the living being through the breath of life breathed into him by God the Father. The living being is an incomplete spirit that doesn't possess a divinity and a humanity like God the Father. The humanity that Adam, the living being, had was also different from the humanity that fleshly man possesses. It was a humanity that grew through knowledge rather than through relativity. Adam possessed the knowledge and the ability of the Spirit, but only a small fraction of what the true and God possesses. When Adam ate the fruits, his eyes were open to a new world he had never known before. For example, students grew up while under the care of the faithful parents. They then go on to the middle school, high school, and then college, where they encounter the world by chance. And they encounter the world through the worldly friends and other channels. Their appearance began to change. Their image as a kind and a gentle degenerated into something quite different. They opened their eyes to a new world, but it was a world ruled by the devil, the enemy, Satan. Adam learned that there is a world of evil, not good, and of untruth, not truth. But gaining this new understanding is not sin in itself. It's sin that steps directly into the new world of the evil, not good, of untruth. By eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam had already entered the world of the darkness. Because the clear sin of the disobeying God's word was established, Adam reverted from the living being to a fleshly being. I know this process all too well because I've experienced it myself. A person of a flesh is not fit to live in the Garden of Eden, the spiritual land. The only suitable place for him is this world of a flesh, this earth. Because he was created from the dust of this land, when he returned to the flesh, this land was his destiny. So the Trinity God decided to send Adam and Eve down from the Garden of Eden to this earth. With this intention, God said He may put forth His hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Of course, this word also tells us about the efficiency of the fruit of the tree of life. It means that even if you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will live. If you eat the fruit of the life, you will live forever if you eat the fruit of the tree of life. So God made Adam guard the east side of the Eden before his sin to prevent the forces of the darkness from eating the fruit of the tree of life. Why God gave Adam the authority to guard the east of the Eden so that the enemy Satan could not obtain the tree of life? Because dark force is have also authority of the second heaven. And they could invade the Eden of Eden Garden and eat the fruit of live forever. Even if Adam sinned, he would gain eternal life if he ate the fruit of the tree of life. Therefore, the conclusion was that Adam, who had fallen to the flesh of Satan, had no choice but to be expelled from the Garden of Eden. Adam should not enjoy eternal life in the Garden of Eden after he's committing sin, but must go to the world of the flesh, live according to the order of the flesh, and then face death. Then God prepared to send Adam and Eve away. Was that the end for Adam? No, Father God knew that Adam would ultimately repent and be saved after his earthly life. It would have been sad if he, the first human being created and the progenitor of humanity, had gone to hell. No. God provide for his salvation. After Adam is saved, he can enjoy the eternal life in heaven, which is better than the Garden of Eden. Adam, who was cultivated in this way, acquired a different humanity than when he lived in the Garden of Eden. He has now acquired the humanity not only through knowledge, but also through the experience of a relativity, which he has personally felt with his whole body and mind. Now there's this difference. To take joy as an example, the joy of someone who has felt sadness is different from the joy of someone who has not felt sadness. The joy felt by someone who has experienced deep sadness is bound to be very different from the joy felt by someone who is wealthy, healthy, and unable to feel sadness or pain. The difference between both experiences is so huge. What would these two people think if they went to heaven? Those who have experienced a deep sorrow will feel more joy and gratitude in heaven. Someone who don't experience the deep sadness on the earth and goes to the heaven, he would not feel such a joy. However, in this world, everyone experienced both sorrow and joy and comes to understand relatively. There may be difference in who experienced it more deeply and profoundly. The happiness of someone who has experienced a hardship and the happiness of someone who has lived without any hardship are different in depth and intensity. Then how about the humility of God the Trinity? Let's compare it with the humility of the fleshly man. God's humility is a spiritual humility, belongs to the divinity. And that man's humility is a fleshly humility. It's a bit difficult, but please understand. The humility of God is a humility that practices only goodness while discerning between good and evil perfectly. In other words, God's humility is a humility that does only good while fully discerning between good and evil. Human humility is such that it doesn't fully distinguish between good and evil and is driven by feelings and emotions. As you know, there are four stages of goodness. It's too deep to get to that fourth level. In fact, reaching the second stage of goodness is quite an achievement. From the world's perspective, even a first or second step of goodness is a great achievement. But from God's perspective, it's not. God recognized goodness as a third level or higher. Let's take a love an example. God loved the humans so much that He gave up His only Son. This kind of love is the greatest of all loves. It's the deepest and the most profound love. He showed us the pinnacle of love, giving everything He had. On the other hand, people love things that change and decay. Spiritual love and the physical love are so opposite. And no matter how deep the love, freshly love is nothing special. And we must not explain or preach God's love by comparing it to any other love. What love, after all, can compare to God's love? When you come to know the depth of God's love, you will never fear Him for His love. You absolutely cannot sin. As 1 John says, you absolutely cannot sin. So you never fear God because you know God's love. God never abandoned us. God never turns away from us. He never says, I don't know you, just because we've made a mistake or two. The problem is that we humans are abandoning God, turning away from God and the living God and the loving the enemy devil who opposes God and obeying the enemy devil. There's no way to abandon the love God has given us. If you know the depth of your father's love, you can never sin. You can. You cannot do evil. Therefore, you don't fear God because you live according to His word, living the light. This is truly a happy and blessed life. It's easy for me to preach this because many of you are living according to God's word. They say they love each other, but they also hate when it doesn't serve their own interests. It's fleshly love. They can't stand it for long and they get angry and they like and dislike each other depending on their mood. Can you call this love? Love should be unchanging, but it's so So up and downs that it's likes and the dislikes as it pleases. Even married couples sometimes separate or request a divorce after a few years. How can this be called love? If you truly love each other, you can never bring yourself to say the word separation or divorce. You live with one heart until death with your spouse. Sometimes, they hurt the other heart to fulfill their desire. This is the love of a flesh. God wants us to have a spiritual love. We too can have the spiritual humanity that God possesses. 2 Peter chapter 1, 4 says, By this He has granted us His precious and very great promises, so that through this you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. He made us partakers of a divine nature. As you shed the attribute of the flesh and attain the mind of the Spirit, you will acquire the nature of God. This is God's will. God has never said that we should not resemble God's divine nature. He always urges us to be like God the Father, saying, For I am perfect, be holy. For I am holy, be perfect. For I am perfect, be holy, for I am sanctified. It's all said in the Old and the New Testament. Our humanity is transformed into spiritual humanity. We can become closer to God's humanity. The closer we get, the better. God wants His children to be like Him, the Father, instead of saying, Hey, you cannot be like me. You cannot be like the divine nature like God. You are just people of the flesh. No. He didn't say that. God gave us His only begotten Son so that we could become like Him. So the more we become like God the Father, the better. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60%. You more you resemble, the better, right? The more you resemble 100% in spirit and finally you go into the whole spirit, does that end there? No, even after that, you have to resemble God again by 1%, 2%, and so on until you reach the 100% in the whole spirit. Then you will become like Abraham, Eliza, Enoch, and Moses. However, you cannot have the same humanity of God. It's because God has humanity along with a perfect divinity. The perfect humanity comes out from the perfect divinity and vice versa. Since man cannot possess the perfect divinity, his humanity cannot become identical to that of God. However, to the extent his heart changes into spirit, he can receive the divinity that belongs to God. To the extent of the divinity he receives, his humanity also becomes different. If you take a close look at Jesus as recorded in the four Gospels, you can understand the divinity and the humanity of God. He manifested amazing power, but He did not flaunt it. He was gentle, yet he did not tolerate unrighteousness. Among the forefathers of faith, Elijah, Enoch, Abraham, and Moses were full of both divinity and the humanity which belongs to God. And so Elijah was taken up alive, and Enoch could walk with God even on the earth. Abraham was called his friend of God, and Moses talked with God as if he were talking with a friend. These people have achieved a very profound level of a Holy Spirit. But you can do it too. The Bible doesn't record things that wouldn't happen. When you reach this level, Father will be so happy. Wouldn't God be pleased with Abraham's faith? What about Enoch's faith? What about Moses' faith? God was so pleased with them. God said He would not trade Moses for all Israeli people who left Egypt. We must understand God's heart and mind. Why did God choose Moses over the people of who left Egypt? Yes, a person of a spirit, a person of a whole spirit is precious to God the Father. He wouldn't trade a few spiritual people for 100 or 1,000. How precious they are to God the Father. I hope that many of you will accomplish the whole spirit and fully possess the divine nature. Therefore, may all of you surely come into the spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.